I don't know where I heard it, but there was a song I heard years ago that said, there's no hiding place down here, except for one, right? And that is in the Lord. He is our refuge. He is our hiding place. God is toppling the idols of our hearts. There are things that we think that we want, or that we even may want, but it can be an idol if it's not what God wants. Because what God wants is best. And an idol is a cheap counterfeit. An idol stands in between God's best. Amen? Between us and Him, really. So the enemy wants to give us cheap counterfeits. And he wants us to go after things, even natural things in this world, that we feel that if I could just have that or do that, I would be happy, I'd be satisfied. And then when it doesn't happen the way we expected it to, it exposes something in us, and that is that it was actually something that I was wanting, but was not necessarily willing to lay on the altar and crucify and give it up for God's best. And so the Lord has taken us into higher places in Him, newer places in Him. But in order to do that, we've got to crucify the old. We've got to get over the old. We've got to break the old pattern, the old mold, the old way. And even the thought systems, the ways that we are thinking. We all know what it's like to be disappointed, you know, in life. But often those disappointments are simply idols that we've erected in our own imagination that God wants to demolish and bring down so that we will not put anything before Him, because again, an idol is a cheap counterfeit for God's perfection, God's best for us. So God has taught me about, even when it comes to expectations, if it's my expectation, it needs to be toppled. If it's His expectation, amen, we believe for that. And so we have to let go and relinquish all control to the Master who knows what's best. Our Father knows what's best for us and what will truly satisfy us. But it's not even for that. It's just He knows what's going to be good for us in light of eternity, even if we have to suffer in the process. God is weaning us off the idols and the things that we are depending on, the things that we are trusting in, so that we will trust only in Him. And when our faith is fully in Him, then the rest of those things will follow into your life. God will provide, God will take care of it. But He wants you to just let it go, let go anything, even our own ideas of what we think is best for us. See, those are idols of the heart sometimes. And we've all dealt with that. We all have. We've had these expectations. Oh, God, if that happened, or if this happened, I would just be happy, or that would really satisfy, that would be awesome, or whatever. But, you know, God knows the future, and He knows what's best for us, and He knows what's not good for us. And sometimes I've had expectations in my own mind of what I thought was best for me, but God said, no, it's not good for you. And so God allowed that thing to fall or to die in my life. And we know that we're dying to ourselves when the expectations that we have can fall or completely die, and we're not upset over it anymore. Does that make sense? We're no longer upset about disappointments, because disappointments usually are things that, again, that we are expecting to make us happy or to fulfill us or be good for us. And so if my expectation is before the perfect will of God, and God decides that, you know, I want you to have what's best, are we okay with that? Are we going to get mad at God? You know, I thought about John the Baptist in prison. He had been the forerunner of Christ. He was the one to say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is He. I'm not the one, but He is. And John finds himself in prison after doing the will of God and have lived he lived a righteous life. And he could have had all kinds of expectations based upon his performance, maybe, or how well he did, thinking that, well, certainly I did this, so I should get that. And here he is in prison, waiting to have his head chopped off. And this was the guy that Jesus grew up with. They were cousins. And Jesus said something interesting. You know, he says, blessed are those who are not offended in me. So he told John, blessed are those who are not offended in me. I think, again, the upsets in life, the disappointments in our life are usually, the greater the letdown is usually the greater the expectation that we had. So I'm trying, I'm learning, let's put it this way, to not allow things of this world or anything of that nature to get my hopes up too high. You got to come to a place where you die to your selfish ambitions and even what you think is best for you and be willing to lay it on the altar and say, God, it's really up to you. In my mind's eye, I've had a lot of things that I thought were just perfect and they're going to be great for me. But God said no. And I just had to learn, you know what? I need to die to that. It's okay. God, you decide. There's lots of times when I've had expectations, even for this church. I had visions of this thing happening, other things happening a certain way. And God is always changing things up and stirring things up. And, you know, and sometimes we're kind of like, God, what are you doing now? You know, it's, hang on to your hat. We're going for a new ride here, you know. But God, see, is trying to wean us off our own expectations of what we think is best for us so that we will let go of all that stuff, all those things, all those preconceived ideas or notions of what we think is best so we can have His best. And we can't have His best until we get over ourselves and let it go. Say, okay, God, no matter what, like Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. You know, folks, I was listening to a statistic. I think this is from Voice of the Martyrs. Every day, over 450 Christians are being martyred around the earth. Every day. And it's increasing. Those numbers are staggering. I don't know how many per minute, but it was like four or five per minute or something. It was just staggering, the numbers. And over here, we get bent out of shape over spilled milk, you know? See, God wants His church to be pure. He wants His bride ready. He wants His church, amen, to be divorcing itself from the temporal, amen, and embracing the eternal. Living for eternity, realizing that here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come. And to look around us and say, well, God, in fact, I just saw this the other day. I was looking at one of those little placards kind of like this, and it said something to the effect of, instead of asking God for what He can give us, why don't we stop and just say, thank you, God, for what you've given me already. Amen. You know, and realize how blessed we are. You know, thank God we've got food to eat. Amen. We've got, Jesus said, if you have food and raiment there, be what? Content. Be content with that. Now, we've got more than that, don't we? Let's face it, we all have more than that. But God is good, and God is with us, God is for us. But God's plan is eternal. And so we've got to get out of the temporal thinking and the idolatrous thinking of somehow thinking that this present world is our home. Right? I mean, don't put your tent pegs down too deep. Live unsettled. Live in readiness. Jesus is coming. The Lord will return, just like He said. He's coming for a people who are looking for Him. Not a people who are chasing after other things and other lovers and trying to fulfill themselves on the temporal, but those who are anticipating the coming of the King. And they are in readiness and they are serving the Lord with anticipation that any time the Lord could return, because He's coming, what? In an hour when you think not. So let's be ready, because Jesus is coming, just like He promised. Hallelujah. In our busy lives, sometimes it's hard, sometimes to just be still and to really consider all that the Lord has done for us, you know, and put our focus on that. And in all things, not just some things, but in all things, give thanks. Once again, giving thanks means that I am anticipating, amen, good. I'm saying thank you in advance for what God's got. Amen? And even if I don't see it now, I'm not living for this present world anyways. My home is in heaven. And that's where we should have our treasure. Amen. And Jesus said, you know, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is going to be, right? Or vice versa, was it? Yeah. So, you can tell what we treasure, right? By what we focus our time and our energy and our attention on and what we give ourselves to. You know, I think we are experiencing, and the sufferings of Christ are many, and they're varied. And one of those, I believe, is the heart that we, you know, our heart breaks and aches for people that are lost, you know, and such a desire to see them, you know, born again and walking with Jesus. And that is a heavy burden that I have, too, is, you know, I'm always watching the congregation and the flock and who's coming, who's going, and where people are at. And you know, my heart is often grieved, but it's the right kind of grieving. It's, you know, but it's just one of the things that I think keeps us in prayer, really crying out to God for His deliverance and His mercy for people. You know, I've really been praying a lot lately that God would forgive the sins of people. You know, God, please forgive their sins and please don't hold us against them. Remove the veil from their eyes that they can see their true condition and grant them repentance. Grant them the grace of repentance unto life. So pray first of all for forgiveness for them, that God would remove the veil, and then pray for the gift of repentance to be granted to them like that. And this is what the Lord has showed me. That's what Jesus did, you know, at the cross. Hallelujah. It didn't mean they were born again, but He was giving them mercy and an opportunity to repent. And John said, whoever sins you remit, you know, it'll be remitted. And whoever you retain, they'll be retained. So we have to pray that way. And Stephen, when he was being stoned, he cried out and said, Father, don't hold us to their charge. See? That's the love of God that could cause somebody, even when they're being murdered, you know, for their faith, to cry out for mercy for others. We talked to somebody at the park the other day. This is in Allen, Isuke and I, on Monday, I think it was. We went that direction. You know, it was about the dog. We had the dog out, and we just kind of started a little conversation. And, you know, when you hear listening to people, you should be listening, you know, below the surface and get at their heart. And I pretty much, it was the same thing. I knew she was a Spirit-filled believer. And so I just kind of said, I'm a pastor from Shelton. I'm out here, you know, getting the cobwebs out. And, oh, and of course that opened up the door right there. And we had a great talk. And she goes to Belfair Assembly and just had a great time. But there is a knowing and you know her. If your antennas are up, you can usually discern, you know. The counterfeit, though, sometimes is very close to that, too. I mean, you run into people that seem to be very joyful and peaceful, but it's almost like to the extreme or something. My dad always told us growing up, he said, be careful of people who are too nice. Good advice, yeah. I get called in, you know, sometimes I get called into the hospital, and I ran into, you know, somebody there, their mom was passing away and they wanted a chaplain. So I came in and I ministered to the mom and prayed over her. And then they opened up and said they were from this place. I won't tell you where it was at. But I could just kind of sense in the conversation, it was kind of like, you know, this, everybody's going to heaven. All you got to do is be super nice. Let's just think world peace, or, you know, let's just visualize world peace. Yes, that's it. And, you know, there's a way that seems right unto a man. It's the way of self. It's actually self-righteousness. But sometimes it can be dressed up to look so much like Christianity, you know, or like a Christian, but it's a counterfeit light. There's a light there, but it's actually darkness. But they're not aware that the light in them is actually darkness. And many people in the occult world in the New Age talk about a light, you know, that they have this light in them, but they don't realize the source of that light. You hear people saying, well, I walked towards the light, you know, or I went in this tunnel, I saw the light. And you hear other people saying, yeah, they kept on going in the direction of that light, and they discovered that was a leg into hell, you know. And thank God that they didn't continue to go towards that light. You know, the devil appears as an angel of light. But anyways, the Lord gives us that discernment, you know. If we're walking with Him, we can sense if something is off or if it's on. I don't know, you guys want to get into the Word a little bit tonight? Or okay. Because I had time today, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I wrote this down, this thought. The promises and the conditions. The promises and the conditions. Are all of God's promises unconditional? Okay, we got that right. All right, we're off to a good start. So I want to look at this. First of all, God does give promises, right? And He is a promise keeper. In 2 Peter, you can flip in your Bible. You may want to write some of this down tonight. It's up to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. His divine power, dunamis, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, by which have been given to us, here it is, exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, how do we receive God's promises? They're activated by faith, right? Okay. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what pleases God, is when we believe Him. Not that we look at our situation and say, oh, God is bigger than you. It's too impossible. It's too bad. No, that we believe God, that He's bigger than our problem, and that He actually has something for us. He's going to bring us through. He didn't say, I'm going to keep you out of the waters, but He did say, I'll be with you when you walk through the waters. And even out of the fire, there's going to be times. What does fire do? Fire purifies. It reveals impurities. So we need the fire to reveal impurities. And pressures and trials of life will cause those things to surface so we can see whether we're really strong in the faith or not. Sometimes we think that we're strong, but when we think that we're strong, we're usually not. When we think that we're strong, we're usually not. When we know that we're not strong, then we're in position to receive grace and truly be strong in the Lord, right? My grace is made perfect in weakness, right? So it's not in my ability, but in His ability. And if I'm strong in myself, or I'm confident in my ability to live for Christ, I'm not in a good place at all. I'm really proud. If I'm confident in my ability to live for Christ, I'm actually proud. If my confidence is in God's ability to sustain me, to keep me, and enable me, then I'm strong in Him. And I'm in a place where I realize I don't have what it takes, right? So that's, blessed are the poor in spirit, not those who are self-sufficient, but those who realize they need Him. Because then they're in a place where they're humbled, and God gives His grace to the humble. So they're activated by faith, and many of these promises in the Word of God are conditional. For example, salvation, Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Believe in your heart. If you confess and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. How about forgiveness? 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, there's a condition. God offers the promise of forgiveness, but it's conditional upon us confessing our sin. Amen? He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, God made a covenant with Joshua. And I want you to turn to this, if you would, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 1. So, what God was basically telling Joshua is, the land that I promised to Moses, I'm going to give to you. He was just passing it on down generationally. The promises of God are yea and amen in the Lord, right? But they had to be received by faith, and the promises were conditional. There are unconditional promises, and I believe one of those is that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank God, amen? But we can leave him. But he says, I'll never leave you. Joshua 1:1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. So God made the promise that he's going to give them this land. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. There he is again, saying that wherever you walk, I'm going to give it to you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. God is telling them exactly where the boundaries of the land will be. And how many know those promises still stand today? Amen. Regardless of what the nations of the world want to do, God has promised them a land and they're going to have it. Amen. And if Jesus is going to come someday, isn't he? And he's going to rule and reign from his throne in Jerusalem. God promised to always be with him and to help him. This is what he promised. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So what did God do? He promised to never leave him or forsake him, right? He's going to be with him. He promised him a land, and then he promised that he would never be defeated in battle as well. Look at this, verse 5, Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. What is he saying? You're going to kick butt. You're going to take the land. Nobody's going to be able to resist you. But with the promises, there were three commandments given. Now, this is what we need to take a look at, which were also conditions for them to receive what had been promised. So, guys, listen, if you receive from God, you need to listen to the conditions. It's a contract, it's an agreement, it's a covenant, amen? And there are certain agreements that we are to enter into, and there are certain conditions that we must meet before we can receive the promise. And every one of these conditions, whatever the condition might be, is always founded on faith. It always means an act of obedience. Faith is more than just agreeing with what is true. It means I will obey what I believe. Faith without works is dead. So there are conditions, and these conditions require a step of faith on our part. So here it is. They were to obey the commandments by faith. If they truly believed God, then they would obey him. Number one, the first one was, be strong and courageous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now we can apply this today, can't we? God is saying, if walking by faith means that we have confidence in God. And when our confidence is in God and his mighty power and his ability, then we have confidence, amen, when it comes to facing the enemy and those who will oppose us. Because we know the Lord is with us, and greater is the one that's in us than he that's in the world. So he said, be strong. That was the first commandment. And courageous. This is something that they needed to do. They needed to take courage in the Lord their God. They needed to believe that God said he would be with them. And it's nothing new under the sun. Amen. Be of good courage, the Lord said, and I will strengthen your heart. If you want to be strengthened, you're going to have to take courage, and you're going to have to take the step out of the boat of predictability, out of the safe place of what you can control, and say, okay, God, I'm stepping out, and I'm going to trust you in this. And, you know, when we step out into that realm where Jesus is at, then there is a confidence that comes upon us. There is a courage that he produces in us, an ability in us. Amen? That's why when the church was persecuted, the early church, what did they do? They didn't run and hide. They ran to and got on their knees and cried out to God, O Lord, look upon their threats and grant that with all boldness your servants may speak your word. Amen? Stretching out your hand to do signs and wonders and miracles, right? And in the name of your holy child, Jesus. So they cried out to the Lord. And after they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God, what? Boldly. Not by might nor power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It was by his ability. And they realized that they didn't have what it took. And neither should we. We should realize that we do not have what it takes to do what God has called us to do. And that's why we must pray. That's why we must seek him. That's why we must abide in the word. Amen. Abide in him. He becomes our confidence. If you've ever put on body armor, I used to wear it in the army. But if you wear body armor, there's a certain confidence that comes with that. Now, if I understood how cheap it was years ago, I wouldn't have had confidence in it. But they've come a long ways with that. But, you know, but you put that on and it just makes you feel like, go ahead, hit me with your best shot, you know. But when we're clothed in him, right, in the armor of God, it gives you a confidence, an assurance of God's divine protection. Amen. So here he said, be strong and courageous. And then he said also, number two, is do everything Moses taught. Now, I want to add this in here, and I don't believe it's out of order at all. But Moses was the leader that God ordained for that time. And so he's saying, listen to the people that I put in charge of you. And in another place it says, listen to the prophets and you'll prosper. Amen. Listen to those who I have anointed and those who I have called and put in charge of your life. How many know that every one of us in this room, including me, has somebody in charge of us? We may not believe that or think so, but we do have somebody that's in charge of us, somebody that's been assigned to us. And we need to be under authority in order to be able to have legitimate authority. And so he's saying, listen to what Moses tells you. God was speaking to Moses and Moses was passing it on to the people. Listen to what he tells you. And then the third thing he says, read, meditate on, and obey the word. Amen. The book of the law. Read, meditate on, dwell in it. Amen. Think on, speak, obey the book of the law. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now we know this very well, James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself, right? So as we've just read, we know that there are conditions that God will put on certain promises in his word. So if we want to be recipients of God's promises, we need to understand what the conditions are so that we can get into agreement with the Spirit of God. Amen. God does not bless rebellion. Amen. He says rebellion is as a sin of what? Witchcraft. Yeah. And stubbornness as idolatry. So God does not bless rebellion, but he blesses the humble. He gives his grace to the humble. He gives to those who are willing to come under his authority. He will bless and he will protect. There's protection even within the family structure between a husband and a wife. When the wife is submitted to the husband, she's under the protection that God has placed over her. Amen. not that he's better than her, but because of his order, he's given him to be head. Amen. And so if she submits to her husband, there's protection, divine protection in that relationship. Amen. But when that gets out of order, then it causes all kinds of chaos, doesn't it? And disorder, and the family becomes dysfunctional, and the children become confused and dysfunctional, and they start, you know, getting some really whacked out ideas about even sometimes their sexuality when things are not in the right place. That's another whole topic, isn't it? Now, I want us to look at a couple of these. If you just type in, I just type in if, New Testament, if, and there is probably thousands of ifs. But I put an if because if is the word that is used so often to speak of a condition that's attached to a promise. Okay, did I say that right? Yeah. At least in my own mind. Yeah. So let's take a look at some of these. Ready? Now, I may go a little fast, but you can write them down. Matthew 6:14. For if, everybody say if, you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. How many know that everything Jesus said was true? And it's to our advantage to listen to him and say, okay, it doesn't matter how I feel about the situation. This is the truth, and I'm going to live by the truth and not by my feelings. And I find that good feelings will follow obedience. If I do, even if it's painful, I do what God says and try to maintain a good attitude about it too, that good feelings can follow that. Even if it's an injustice, God can turn anything ugly into something beautiful. He'll give you beauty for ashes. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, In fact, I want you to say if every time I say if. I just love that. Anyone desires to come after me, let him, what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What's the condition? Denying ourselves. How about Matthew 17:20? I'm bouncing up a little bit into the verse, but for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, if you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. How many have realized there's been times, I can tell you, there's been times when I prayed for something by myself, and it's just like didn't seem to be happening. And it's because God wants us to agree, to come together whenever two or three gather in my name. So I'll say, hey, I'll grab a hold of Jesus and say, honey, I need you to agree with me about something. We'll pray, and boom, just like that. It's amazing. Of course, according to the will of God. Another whole topic, right? But John chapter 8, verse 51. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. What is the greatest commandment of all? To love God, right? And the second is like under the first, namely, love your neighbor as yourself. The commandments are all what brought together in that one saying. Love does no ill to a neighbor, right? Love is not self-seeking. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. He didn't say, I am a door. He says, I am the door. John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So there is a promise there, that we can be honored by God. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me. I'd rather have the honor of God than the honor of man. Amen? And so, to have honor from God means that what? I serve Him. I live for Him. John 15:14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So there's a promise of actual friendship. This is, I believe, a different level or degree of fellowship with Jesus here. He's calling us to friendship with God. A lot of people sing, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. You know, there's a problem there, right? I am a friend of God. What did you say? You know, and there's this contradiction, right? A friend of God does what he says. Amen. A friend of God denies himself. A friend of God is willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. A friend of God is willing to follow Jesus wherever he goes. A friend of God, amen, has their treasure in heaven. That's what they're living for. My friendship is with God, amen. And I want to have a better relationship, a better friendship. So it means that I have to understand what are the conditions in his word, and I have to get into agreement with the Holy Spirit here and say, Lord, I want to live in faith. I don't want to live in doubt. I want to live in confidence. I don't want to live in fear. Faith means that I listen to his voice. When we get to make a decision in life, we have to listen for God's voice. We say, God, you know, Phil came up earlier and said, you were talking about looking at a car, and they had ideas about getting another car, but they're praying about it and asking God to show them. And he says, I'm thankful for the voice of the Lord, you know, that the Lord speaks to us. And he does if we'll listen. But when we make a decision, we have to ask God about it, acknowledging him in all of our ways. And then we have to have the confidence in his answer, that no matter what it is, even if it goes contrary to what we expected, it's the best. It's better. There's things that God has not allowed me to do in life because it probably would have brought me into destruction. There was things that I wanted to do prematurely, even in ministry, that would beyond what I would have been able to handle at the time. And God said no. He shut the door on that. And until I quit struggling, I quit striving to try to make something happen and make God's will happen. And God's getting me to a place where he's saying, okay, God, whatever you decide, we're going to go out here to Roosters Thursday night, and we're going to get together, and we're going to talk about you, and we're going to share in the life of Jesus together. You know, it doesn't have to be this big thing. It just has to be what you want. It just has to be what he wants. And when we're doing what he wants, he's there. Where I am, there my servant is. When we're in the will of God, he's there in it. There is life in the will of God. There's a quickening by his Spirit in the will of God. When you are doing what you're called to do in life, it brings joy. It brings contentment. It satisfies you. My meat, right? Bread is to do the will of my Father. That's what satisfied him. And not what he thought was best, not what I think is best, but what the Father says is best is what we need to discover and abide in. And that you'll find contentment. Even folks, sometimes April goes out with us sometimes to the, and you guys have been out there, but there's this one lady there. She's always got this beautiful smile on her face. You know what I'm talking about? The lady, I don't remember even what her name is, but she's always got this beautiful Jesus smile going on. She's just got a glow about her, you know, and you wheel her in there. And here she is in a wheelchair. Everybody's having to take care of her. She's not eating the best food. She probably, I don't want to even go into, but somehow she has discovered a place of contentment. And you can tell in her spirit that it's not going to be in the external things of life. It's going to be in Christ. And sometimes we get away from that. Sometimes we lose that. We lose perspective. We start focusing on this thing and that thing. If I can do this or I can get that. And all of a sudden we start to find ourselves being anxious and worried. And we lose that peace and that contentment. Why? Wrong focus. We're focusing on the wrong thing in the wrong direction. We've got to get back to our first love. We've got to get back to the place where, Jesus, I don't care if I have anything. If I got you, I've got everything.
Oh, I broke my nail. All right, my whole day is ruined now. I mean, sometimes it's that trivial, right?
We got to get back to our first love, to where we desire only Him. Desire to know Him. Our greatest joy, our greatest pleasure is knowing Him, walking with Him, and doing what He asks us to do. We do it willingly. We do it with joy because we love Him and we want to honor Him and we want to make Him famous. And it's not about me. It's not what people think about me. It's what He thinks about me. I want God to look on me and I want God to honor me. And I know that if I serve Him, He will honor me. Amen. But it may not be in this world. How many people have been overlooked? Nobody saw them in the prayer closet. Amen. On their face before God, crying out, interceding for other people. But God saw it. He saw it in secret. Come on, somebody. Amen. Some people think if I just have a public ministry or a visual ministry where people are watching me and go, ooh, wow. You know, no. It's just being faithful to whatever God has given me to do and being content in whatever condition or situation I happen to be in. That's what Paul said. I have learned that whatever state I'm in, to be content. He knows what it is to, he knew what it was to abound and have all kinds of stuff and money and doing well. And he also knew what it was to be living in a rat-infested, stinky, you know, dungeon. But he had, even in that, he said, I have learned contentment. And that contentment was not in the external situation, but in his Lord. There is a higher place we can go to. There is a place of quiet rest near the heart of God. No matter what happens in this world, we've got to know how to find that. We've got to know how to get into God. We've got to know how to lose ourselves in Him. Folks, because of the days that are coming upon us, if we do not pray, we will fall prey. We have to know how to get into the secret place with God so that no matter what happens externally, we will be able to stand up internally. Are you hearing me? And not crumble and fall apart and give in and compromise or sell out under the pressure. What if they hold a gun to our head and say, deny? Do you understand, though, that if we can't, sometimes we can't deal with the little stuff. And yet, you know, what about the big stuff? We have to learn. God's trying to get us to a place where we learn how to find contentment in Him and to trust Him and Him alone. Don't trust the government. Trust God. Amen. God may use the government, but that's not your source. He's your ultimate source. Amen. Government is there to be a help to those who need help. A good government. Can you say amen to that? How about John 20 and verse 23? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Here it is again, where we have the ability, the authority to forgive in the sense that we can call and ask God to forgive their sins. And also, I believe, also can apply to us when people trespass against us. Amen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Romans 6:8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Do you know what it means, died, like in past tense? If we died with Christ, buried with Him through baptism, raised in new life. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. How many know that your spirit man is to be in control of your body? Amen. Romans 11:22. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. Now, let's talk about just the goodness here. Consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness. Now, in this context here, he's talking about Jew and Gentiles and how that the Gentile nations have been grafted in temporarily. Right? And the Jews eventually, because they are the natural vine, they will be restored. But for right now, salvation has come to the non-Jewish peoples, as the Gentiles. Amen? But he's saying, listen, don't boast against the branches because you're not holding the root. The root's holding you. So he says, if you continue in his goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. He's saying you're grafted in contrary to nature, to the promises that were given to Abraham, amen, and to his seed, and the promises that were originally made to the people that he chose to represent him on the earth, and that is the Jewish people. And we have been grafted in contrary to nature, and we stand by faith. Amen. So we should not be arrogant or haughty, but we should fear. In a godly sense, in other words, we should take God seriously about these conditions here. He says, if not, you can also be broken off. And you know, if you're disconnected from the vine, Jesus said in John 15, if you don't continue with me, you're like a branch that is withered. Amen. It's cast off and thrown into the fire. That's the words of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. You see it? He's saying, the gospel I preached to you, which you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if, here's the condition, you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. There is no other way to God, amen, but through Jesus. There's no other foundation except Christ. And the Judaizers of that day were trying to get them to obey the laws of Moses and, you know, the Ten Commandments and all this other, and being circumcised and faith. You cannot confuse the two. Faith in God will produce an obedient heart to the law, but the law is the law of the Spirit written on our hearts. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's true Christianity. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not give up or lose heart. What is that saying? I've been praying, I've been believing, I've been giving, I've been loving, I've been serving, amen? And I'm not quitting, I'm not giving up. Why? Because it doesn't matter if I see any fruit or any instant fruit. It doesn't matter what I'm seeing with my eyes. I know that my labor in the Lord is never in vain. And that God sees, and if you keep on sowing, amen, eventually harvest is going to come in. And even what you sowed years ago can be coming in today. And what you sow today may be years down the road, but God is faithful. Amen. So he's saying, don't quit. Don't give up. Keep on sowing in the Holy Spirit. Whatever you sow in the Holy Spirit, someday will come back to you. Don't get weary in helping people, blessing people. Amen. Even praying for stubborn people. Somebody didn't give up on me, thank God. And Colossians 1:21. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh to death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Colossians 1:23, if indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. 1 Thessalonians 3:8. For now we live if you stand fast in the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:11. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Hebrews 3:14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship, body, together, amen, gathering in his name. Hallelujah. These are just some of these exceeding great and precious promises the Lord has given to us. But again, in each case here, we see there are conditions. There are conditions for every one of these. And the bottom line for all of this, folks, is not that we have to go down a list and figure out if we got it all figured out. It's just, am I simply believing God? Do I simply believe what God said? And do I believe that God will do exactly what He promised He would do in His Word? Do I have a heart, a believing heart like Joshua or Caleb, who said we are well able to go into the land? Why? Because God has already promised it to us. He gave the promise with a condition. Be courageous, amen? Be believing. Meditate. Listen to those I put in charge of you. Listen to Moses, amen? And keep my word before you so you don't get distracted. You don't get off course. You're not looking to the left. You're not looking to the right. But your eyes are focused. They're fixed on where you're going. We're marching to Zion, amen? We're going to Canaan land. We're crossing over. Amen? And we have to believe that God has promised us a land that is flowing with milk and honey. And this land, I believe, is in heaven. Amen? And in the spirit realm. And there is a rest for the people of God where we can enter into a place where we can find contentment no matter what is happening around us. There is a special place in God where we can go. And God wants us to have faith and believe and enter behind the veil. Amen? Into that place. Hallelujah. And rest. Rest in Him. And no matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter what it looks like. We don't live by that. We're living from a different vantage point. We have an eagle's eye view. We are living from heaven to earth. For we have been raised up together with Christ and seated in the heavenly places. Raised up together with Him. Faith in God is what pleases Him. That's what pleases God. Believing Him. Hallelujah. And I'm going to finish with this verse, Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love. Sometimes we wonder, am I making any difference? Which you have shown towards His name, and that you have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same slothfulness, diligence, that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. See, if we are in faith, we will be diligent in our service to Christ. Amen? Because we are confident in His promise that whatever I do in obedience to the voice of God will never be in vain. Not only will I bring pleasure to my Father, I'll put a smile on Jesus' face when I see Him that day. He's going to say, well done. That's what we want to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let us do whatever we can to stir up one another to love and to good works. Amen. To stay in the race, to not quit, to not become weary, not allow the devil to talk you out of what God has promised you, but persevere, stay focused, keep your mind on things above where Christ is seated and not things below. For here we have no continuing city. This is temporary. Amen. We're living for eternity. Bear fruit unto eternal life. Jesus said, where I am, there my servant will be also. Lord, we want to be where You are. We want to be where You are. Dwelling daily in Your presence, surrounded by Your glory. Lord, we want to hear Your voice. You said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Lord, thank You for Your promise that You will keep those who trust You. Keep those who have entrusted their souls to You. That we are in the palm of our Father's hand and no one is able to snatch us out of His hand. God, we give control to You. We relinquish control. We relinquish, Lord, our future to You. We will trust You, Lord. We know that You're with us. We know that You're for us. We know that You'll never abandon us. We know, God, that You're going to make a way for us. Even if everything in nature speaks contrary, You are God over nature. And You can make anything happen, God. You can cause water to come from a rock. You can rain manna down from heaven. God, there is nothing that you cannot do. We will not worry and we will not fear the things that we hear. We will look to you, God. You are the God of gods. You are the Most High. You are the creator of all these things, God. The silver and the gold is mine, says the Lord. Do not fear those things that are coming upon the earth. Put your full confidence in my ability to sustain you. And I will lead you by my Spirit, says the Lord. Father, I just pray that you would unite our hearts together as one. Make us one in you, in the olive tree, in Messiah. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for your Spirit that will lead us daily in the perfect will of God. Lord, we ask you to remove every idol in our hearts. Everything, Lord, that would exalt itself against you or come between us, God. Anything, any preconceived ideas of what we think is best, God, we pray that only what you want will be what we want. So make your will our desire, we ask. In Jesus' name, Father, bless and keep my brothers and sisters. Keep us in your perfect peace, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.